This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the No Nay Never podcast and football show. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and this week, are we celebrating? Is the champagne on ice? Well, it was Rotherham away for the midweek game with a chance, if results went our way, for the Clarets to finally seal the championship title. Did they do it? You will find out in just a minute. I'm going to be joined this week by Statman Dave and regular panellist and FPL expert Adam Dennett as we dissect what happened away in Yorkshire and look forward to another championship fixture this weekend against QPR. So without further ado, let's go. Okay, let's get in there. I am, of course, as I mentioned in the outer of this, we're joined by Dave and Adam this week. We are looking back at Burnley's midweek performance away at Rotherham. Ended 2-2, a frustrating away draw for the Clarets. The 14th, I think, draw of the season. Goals from Manuel Benson and Scott Twine saw the Clarets extend their unbeaten run to 22 games. 10 points clear of the top of the championship table. 10 points clear, I believe it is now. Yes, it is 10 points clear of Sheffield United in second place with just 4 games left to play. Irrespective of what happened for us, the Clarets couldn't have sealed promotion on Tuesday night with Sheffield United also winning. But I'm going to come straight to you and delve into this, Adam. You were there at Rotherham as well on Tuesday night. One of those games that I think you kind of came away, especially in the second half, scratching your head and wondered how the Clarets didn't win that.
Yeah, we were, from the off, we were clearly the better side. As you'd expect, looking at the table and even just the difference in the squads, we had all of the ball pretty much most of the game. But in the first half, I think I checked stats at half time and we went in and it was 1-1 and they'd had 0 shots on target, which pretty much summed it up. We had Roberts had a block shot. Twine had an effort over before he scored. Really good goal from Roberts's cross. Lovely finish on the volley. And then just before a pivotal moment, it felt like just before Rotherham did equalise, we had what looked like a very clear penalty claim for a handball. Arms away from his body. You could tell by the player's reaction that they really wanted it. But then we've got to do better. The corner that they scored from came from our own throw-in by the corner flag where we were just sloppy, didn't look after the ball and just played it straight out of play from the for a corner. And they were always going to be a threat. They physically looked the bigger side.
Yeah, they did.
And we were pretty weak. Peacock Farrell's got to do better. I think in general he's done pretty well this season when he has come in. I don't know whether he's getting a run now to get a medal or not, but seems strange to have Muric on the bench when we've been on such a good run and he's been so good all season. But he needs to do better. He flaps at the cross. Vitinho maybe could swing a leg to clear it, but I don't think he knows much about it. Hits him and goes over the line. I think one bright spark from the first half and probably carried it on as well with Lyle Foster.
Yeah, I was going to come on to him.
Definitely his best performance so far in a Burnley shirt. Held up the ball well, spread the play, and he was so close on so many occasions to getting on the end of things, like play the ball wide, rush into the box, and he'd just be half a yard away from it. He's playing against Richard Wood, who's, I think, is nearly 40 and not played a game since December, so you'd maybe expect him to do well. But yeah, really unlucky not to be on the score sheet. And yeah, it carried on the same in the second half, really. He had a couple of chances. Gudmundsson came more into the game, pulled a couple back. Twine had a good chance before the Benson goal, which I think everyone will have seen it now. Absolute class.
That goal.
Another one out of the top draw from him. And Cullen's tackle to start it off with.
Exactly.
Out of this world as well.
The build-up before the tackle as well was superb. It was a real team goal, yeah, as Adam, wasn't it? It was really impressive. Just pausing there very quickly before we come back to you, Adam. Dave, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but how many appearances do players need to have to get medals? Because that, to me, is the only explanation for the tinkering around of this team. Because to me, I don't understand why we're not playing our first team and why we didn't go for the points record. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, I do.
Of course you do.
I did look into this. The Premier League has rules where now 5 appearances, that includes sub appearances, and you get a medal.
Yeah.
In the Championship, it's slightly different. They look at 25% of matches. So that's 12 games.
Oh, wow.
But if you're named in the 18, so even if you're an unused sub, that counts towards it. So when we're talking about Bailey Peacock Farrell, he'll have qualified for a medal.
Yes,
already.
He doesn't need to be playing in nets. Yeah, he just doesn't need to be playing in the nets. And I think, I know you're a slightly bit more pragmatic than I am, Dave. I tend to be a little bit emotional about these things, but I'm not feeling massively comfortable about Vincent Kompany tinkering with our squad when the East Lancs derby is right around the corner, because that is a very important game that we have to win.
Yeah, he did kind of touch on that. I listened to his pre-match press conference earlier, and he kind of talked about wanting to see the team. He has an opportunity now. He still thinks the team are putting out a very strong, capable winning games, which is correct. And then he kind of mentioned about the derby. So I think that's kind of in the back of his mind. We might see a slightly different team for that game next Tuesday.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the tinkering, Adam? Because obviously you've seen them play now on Tuesday, and it's difficult to get, well, we shouldn't be getting frustrated about anything this season, and I understand that. But as fans, we're just kind of questioning this and wondering what's going on here. On paper, though, still, that game and the stats prove it, that team should have beaten. So if you could pinpoint what was missing for us in terms of turning that draw into 3 points, what was it? And I think bearing in mind that some of our group chat before this was that performance very much reminded us of the Burnley at the beginning of the season, the one that had all the possession and just couldn't seem to convert to wins. What was it for you?
I think it's just maybe that slight edge, but Rotherham just, we were just sloppy. The goals are just not like what we've been conceding.
Yeah.
Just overly sloppy. Rotherham were very aggressive. And always going to be a threat from set pieces. But we gave away a lot of sloppy free kicks in our own half that just put a bit more pressure on ourselves. I think as much as Alderkeel is definitely a prospect, he's only 21 years old. I think with Ekdal or Howard Bellis in the side, we do look a lot more organised, and
yeah,
I think they do have that extra bit of quality playing out from the back. Not that Alderkeel can't do it. He's a very good player, and from the limited amount of time I've managed to see him, he does look a real like he's going to turn into a good player. I still think without Howard Bellis or Ekdal, we do lose something there. It's difficult because, like you said, we should have won the game. Regardless, it just didn't fall for us. It was one of those nights. I think it was much better than Reading, even though we limited Reading to barely anything.
Oh,
I think we
were
better in the final third, and could have had a lot more. And I think that's probably a few of the players did play at Reading and then play again at Rotherham, so they need to get a bit more match sharpness. Lack of game time's gonna do that to you. So disappointing not to win, but again, like you said, everything at this stage has been overly critical given the season that they've had as a squad, and I'd not seen that in 2, Dave, but that's pretty fair reasoning, I think, from company wanting to see the squad and see what needs improving going into next year. It's hard to argue with someone who's got something so right for all of the season. There's lots of times where I've questioned him and he's been completely justified in what he's done. So, but like you said, Natalie, we need to win next Tuesday. We can't
be messing about. We have to win next Tuesday, especially as they seem to be bottling it. As those of you who follow me on social media will have seen, I genuinely thought this season had peaked until I saw the Coventry keeper putting the ball in the opposition net on the 96th minute to steal a point, 3 points from
the Rovers keeper as well.
Huh?
He put the ball in and then followed and through and did
it was Ashley Barnes-esque. The Blackburn keeper has been in the net more times than he has this season, and it's been wonderful. Or was it a different? Right, doesn't matter. Yeah. Same shirt. Okay, let's move on away then from the Rotherham game. Where that leaves us then is one more win out of the next four, irrespective of Sheffield United's results, and the title is ours. Will that be this Saturday? We are, of course, back at Turf Moor, a packed-out crowd ready to raise the roof. Before we get on to previewing that game, this is what happens, Dave, when we mash together the analysis show and the preview show. My words go all over the place. It's chaos on the Known and Ever podcast. Chaos.
As usual.
As usual. And you know what, young Dave? Long may that continue. Listeners, I'd like to promise you that next season it'll be slick and we'll be back in the Premier League and we'll be dead professional and it'll be wonderful. However, it hasn't been for about 10 years, so I see no reason why that is going to change next year. What are we doing? What's next? Yes, a quiz question before we get any further. Let's let you know what the answer to last week's quiz was. Dave, what did you set our listeners last time, please?
We said the club record for the most clean sheets in the league season currently stands at 21. But in which season was this record set?
Oh, now this was a tricky one, actually. I feel like it was a fact that we should have known, but we don't. So I didn't get this. Adam, did you hazard a guess at this at all?
I didn't hear that. So it were, I'd guess 15, 16, but I've no idea.
Yeah, no, you're way, way, way off. What was the sorry. That was kind of brutal. I was like, no, you're wrong. Dave, swiftly save me from the wrath of Adam and tell us what the answer was, please.
Well, surprisingly, it wasn't a title-winning season or even a promotion season. It was 1980-81. Burnley finished eighth in our first ever season in the third division. We did manage 21 clean sheets, and that is the current club record.
Yeah, did we get any correct answers, please?
The only one I saw was from regular quizzer Andy Richings. He was in touch with the correct answer this time, and in fact, he got the answer right for our previous quiz question as well, which we forgot to mention in our last show. So well done to him.
He did as well. I take full responsibility for this. So every single week, I pester our listeners to submit their quiz answers and say, get involved. And then every single week, like 30 seconds before we go on air, Dave says to me, Natalie, did we have any correct answers? And I go, oh, bleep, I forgot to check. And I'm hurriedly scrolling through all of our contact pages at Known and Ever to try and find them. And Andy, I missed you. I'm so sorry. So you may blame me completely. And I take full responsibility. And with that, of course, you don't need to wait much longer for another quiz question. You just need to wait until the end of the show, hang around a bit, and we will let you know what we're going to set you this week. Let's move on then to that preview show. QPR at home, Saturday the 22nd of March 2023, a 3 p.m. kickoff. Dave, we are going to start, please, with your championship head-to-head.
Yeah, of the 19 seasons that Burnley and Queen's Park Rangers have spent together in the same league, five have been in the top flight, with the remaining 14 in the second tier. So let's take you on a whistle-stop tour of our previous 13 second-tier home matches against QPR. We begin in the early 1970s with a 1-0 victory in September 1971, thanks to a goal in just the second minute from Arthur Bellamy. Honours were even 12 months later when the sides drew in September 1972. Martin Busby opened the scoring for the visitors in the 35th minute, but Frank Casper scored the equaliser 3 minutes later, and 1-1 was the way it stayed. Burnley were sinking fast in March 1980, and a 3-0 defeat hastened our decline towards the third division. But after that reverse, Burnley managed to win the next five home games against QPR at this level, starting with a 2-1 win in May 1983, with both goals from Terry Donovan, although it was too late to stop our relegation back to the third division. Following a break of 18 seasons, we met again in March 2001, and goals from Paul Smith and a Gareth Taylor header helped us to another 2-1 win. Our next league meeting at Turf Moor resulted in a 2-0 win. That was in April 2005, with both goals scored by Adi Akinbaye. And that was followed up with two more home wins during 2006. In the April, Andy Gray scored the only goal in a 1-0 win. And then on the opening day of the following season, in August 2006, Steve Jones scored both goals on his debut. That was in a 2-0 win for the Clarets. Then, in December 2007, we suffered a 2-0 defeat, which resulted in the Burnley Express leading with the headline, "Booing leaves me speechless," as their reporter Phil Simpson was less than impressed with the reaction of the Turf Moor crowd. One of the QPR team for this match and others around the time was the current manager, Gareth Ainsworth. In April 2009, Chris Eagle scored the only goal in a 1-0 win. And after a goalless draw in January 2011 with Stuart Gray in caretaker charge, the next match against QPR was in October 2013 when a Danny Ings double helped the Clarets to a 2-0 win. This was also the match when Bertie B was dismissed from the touchline by referee Andy Haynes for the suggestion that the assistant referee needed to wear spectacles. And the Burnley mascot later ended up in the Turf Moor prison cell. That just leaves the most recent game at Turf Moor at this level from the 2015-16 season, but you can hear all about that meeting very soon, as it's our choice for this week's separate memory match feature. But for now, I'll leave you with a results summary. Burnley have accumulated 9 wins in second-tier home matches against QPR, with just 2 draws and 2 defeats. They haven't been high-scoring games, but our goal difference is strong, with 15 goals for and just 8 against in those 13 matches.
Excellent stuff. What an iconic moment in Burnley FC's popular culture as well. Bertie B in the cells. It was iconic, to say the very least. Well, let's move on to the second of our preview features, and is our much-loved, certainly for this half of the season, celebrity fan feature. We rate our opposition celebrity fans. Some weeks easier than others. Dave, despite not many QPR celebrity fans springing to mind, Adam, could you think of any before you saw Dave's list? I couldn't.
None.
Nope. You actually seem to do very well this week. Why don't you kick us off with those celebrity fans, please?
Well, I do well. I do well every week. But in terms of QPR...
if you say so yourself, young Dave.
In terms of QPR fans, there was more to choose from, let's say, than some other teams. And we were able to fill our list quite easily with 6 QPR fans without having to resort to pie-based mascots or cartoon rabbits this week.
That was literally where I was going. I was going to challenge you before we started to find out just exactly how many rules you have broken this week.
No, none this week.
Okay.
So here are the 6 celebrity QPR fans we've chosen for our listeners' consideration. We have got Martin Clunes, famous actor, most notably Doc Martin and Men Behaving Badly.
Indeed.
Things. Bill Bailey, comedian, musician and actor.
Also
very well
good.
Known. Phil Collins, singer, songwriter and musician, drummer as well, Genesis and solo projects. Ade Edmondson, comedian and actor, he was one of the young ones, but he's not so young now. He's 66, would you believe?
Is he?
He is.
The young ones isn't the reference there. Bottom is the reference.
Well, that followed on.
That was amazing, though. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Next on our list is singer Ellie Goulding. And then 6th and finally on our list is Michael Gove, who is Conservative MP for... He's been Conservative MP for Surrey Heath since 2005.
Well, for the 6th entry alone, I know exactly what QPR celebrity fans are rated from me. That is a big fat 0. Adam, rate it for me.
I think it would be stronger if it wasn't for one of the people on the list. I better not go any further than that. But yeah, I think other than that, really, really strong, good mix of talent there. I'd say a solid 7.
Dave?
I'd agree. I'd go probably 7.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because I don't know the guy, so I don't. I'm sure Michael Gove is a lovely guy. He just doesn't happen to be one of my favourite politicians. So despite that, he's not a member of the public profile that I particularly like. I agree. I think that's a really good list. So I'm going to moderate that at 7 and give QPR fans 7 out of 10. Well done, QPR fans. That is a solid, solid performance, and we applaud you. Dave, memory match, please. You've already teased us with this, as you do so many times this season. Do you want to let us know what you've picked, please, this week?
Yeah, for this week's memory match, we're taking you back to a very memorable Turf Moor match from May 2016. Things were extremely tight at the top of the table, with Middlesbrough and Brighton competing with us for the 2 automatic promotion places. After Brighton could only draw 1-1 at home to Derby County earlier in the day, we knew that a win would confirm our promotion place, with the title still being up for grabs as well. For the visit of QPR, there was a nervous atmosphere around Turf Moor, and we didn't get the luxury of an early goal to ease the tension. It remained goalless at the break, and it stayed that way until just after the hour mark. Burnley were attacking the B-hole end, as is usually the case in more recent seasons, and when we were awarded a free kick, David Jones whipped the ball in towards the edge of the 6-yard box, and who else was there but Sam Vokes, to perfectly place a guided header past Matt Ingram to break the deadlock and ease the pressure. Love we it. Saw out the remaining 30 minutes without too many issues, other than a speculative shot from Alejandro Forlin, which hit the outside of the post with 20 minutes remaining. But when John Moss blew the final whistle, we knew that Burnley would be back in the Premier League for the following season. The Burnley Express recorded the occasion with the headline, "Vokes delivers Premier strike." And after the match, Sean Dyche told BBC Radio Lancashire, "We've worked so hard, it's been a different league this year and a different style to it. People have been having a real go financially, putting money into it. We've balanced the books and been successful again. I couldn't be more proud." Although this victory confirmed our promotion, it's an odd set of coincidences, which means that Burnley have never confirmed a title at Turf Moor, at least never on the day itself. Wow. Let's hope that can change this Saturday, as any Burnley victory would confirm us as Championship winners just after Sheffield United kick off against Manchester City in their FA Cup semi-final.
Excellent stuff. Oh, I hope we do it. That would be really great. As ever, we like to bring you our friends from our opposition and get their take on the game. This week, we spoke to QPR podcast and website Art Generation, and we got their thoughts ahead of the game.
Right, trying to sum up QPR season in 2 to 3 minutes. I mean, firstly, it's not possible. It's been so shambolic since the departure of Mick Beale that you would need at least half an hour or more to discuss this in full. But, you know, I'll give you the best that we've got. It did, as I said, it started with Mick Beale's departure to run off up north to Scotland to finish behind Celtic with Rangers. You know, I'm not bitter about that at all, but we were playing good football at the time. We were top at one point, I think in October, and now we face relegation potentially in a matter of 3 games. Quickly came in, former Blackpool boss, and it wasn't good, and we were sleepwalking towards the position we are in now, and therefore the board, the club, they had to act, and they did. But who can you get in that situation? Basically, sort of like the dregs that no one else wants, and or someone who's crazy enough to actually come and take the job. And someone crazy enough was Gareth Ainsworth, and you know, I love him. He was a player when I first started going to QPR many moons ago, and he is loved, and I hate to see the way it's going at the moment, because it's not a situation of his making. He's not been able to improve the situation, but then I'm not surprised about that, because we are a complete shambles. But yeah, it's not looking too pretty. If you're looking at team selection, I'd look at the team that we put out last night against Norwich, minus Jake Clark-Sulter, because surprisingly, and I'm really shocked about this, for the billionth time this season, he got injured. So it would probably be Rob Dickey coming in there. Apart from that, I'd be surprised if there's any other changes, because largely, until we started sitting back, it was actually quite a positive performance against Norwich last night. How I think we'll approach a game. I think this will probably be the easiest 3 points that you'll get all season. But personally, if I was you guys, I would say, where's the fun in beating another team? You don't really want to win the title against us. You want to win it in your rival's backyard at Blackburn. Why not go and win it there? Give us a bit of charity, you know? Our only hope is that you guys don't turn up, I think. Which, yeah, by the looks of it, you've I haven't been doing the last couple of games, so you know, thanks for giving points to our relegation rivals. But yeah, I'm not too optimistic about Saturday at all. I'm expecting a beating. Usually, after a spirited performance, that we get an embarrassing 6-1 or a completely pointless 3-0 loss to Coventry. So God knows what the runaway league leaders are going to do. But yeah, I'm not looking forward to this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, Dave, referee, who's going to be in charge in the middle?
We've got Dean Whitestone of Rushton in Northamptonshire. He's going to take charge of Burnley v QPR on Saturday afternoon. His previous 10 Burnley matches since 2008 have resulted in 3 wins for the Claretts, 4 draws and 3 defeats. We've already seen him in the middle twice so far this season for the 1-1 draw at Birmingham City last October in the league, and also at Turf Moor for the 1-0 victory over Fleetwood Town in the FA Cup fifth round at the start of March. In that match, he sent off Kian Hayes just before half-time, and he's also dismissed 2 other opposition players in previous matches involving Burnley, both of which were at Turf Moor. They were Daniel Ayala of Middlesbrough and also Wilfred Zaha of Crystal Palace.
That sounds like they were going to be good to us, I think. Well, they're good stats. I think the referee's going to behave himself and not start sending off Burnley players, because we don't want any disciplinary records at the end of the season. So one win, Adam, and that takes us as champions, irrespective of what Sheffield United do at the end of the season. The last 4 games, we win a game and we're promoted. Are you happy? It's going to probably happen at Turf.
I would be if I could go to the game, but I'm missing Saturday. It's my brother's 30th birthday and he's a Burnley fan as well. And I can't believe he's arranged it for that day. But anyway, yeah, I really hope they do it on Saturday. I'd love that stat from Dave. I didn't realise it was such a historic event.
So no, I didn't.
For me to be upset with him. But no, yeah, get it done and dusted. And I can't see anything other than a Burnley win with that incentive to play for. So, yeah, really, really confident.
Good stuff. Dave, does he play a full strength team or does he carry on with this experiment with the reserves? Tinkering.
He's going to carry on, let's face it.
Oh!
We know that's going to happen, but I think we're going to have too. Regardless, we're going to have too much for Queen's Park Rangers. Our home form this season has been magnificent. I think we started with 3 draws. I think we've only had another 3 draws since then. So yeah. We've won virtually every other game. We've been mercurial at home this season, and may it continue.
Yes, indeed. With Nathan Teller looking like he might get back for the last game, but we may not see him again this season, Adam. What do you do up front? Do you basically start that same team then that played away at Rotherham? Do you bring Barnes in? Do you start with Obafemi and Foster? It's a bit of a... We don't really have a natural pairing with Teller being out, do we?
No, I think it'd be nice for Twine to start again in that.
Yeah, he was really good.
And hopefully get at least like three games back to back. See if we can get a bit of a run going. I'd like to see like the spine of the team coming back. Murich, Howard Bellis, Brownhill if he's fit. I know he's in training, but obviously been injured. And I've not got as much of an issue if it's Foster ahead of Barnes. Just because he did show some signs midweek, and
he was good. He was really good on Tuesday.
We do need to be looking forward, especially when we've invested that money in him. He's got all the attributes: big, strong, like powerful, fast. So like Dave said, we should be too strong. They've picked up slightly the last couple of. I think they've picked up a couple of draws QPR, but you'd think we'd have way too much of them at the weekend.
Yeah, you'd hope so too. He's some talent, is Twine, isn't he, Dave? I wonder whether with him playing not and featuring not as much as we thought he was going to do this season, are we a little bit worried that effectively to go from League One, kind of leapfrog the Championship and go straight to the Premier League, there's some pressure on the lad there. I think Vincent's going to have to be very careful with him, I think.
Yeah, he touched on that in the press conference today, the pre-match press conference, saying that really the season end is coming at the wrong time for Scott Twine. He missed so much of the season. He's coming into the side now. He could do with a run of games. And yeah, we've got another four games left, but that's going to be it. So it is a challenging one, and we'll just have to see how it goes. And obviously he's going to find out a lot in pre-season as well, depending on who comes in.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of, well, obviously, Adam, you've already talked about the defenders who you'd like to bring back. How important is it, given that the next opportunity to get the title is the East Lancs Derby? How important is it to get this over the line on Saturday? Do we really want to be going down the road to our neighbours to try and get that title? Because I'm not feeling that convinced about that game, I'm not going to lie.
We're going to do it at some point, aren't we?
Yeah.
So
Sheffield United will run out of games, irrespective. Even if we drop points, they'll run out of games.
Yeah. You win 26 and only lose two of 42 games. You're not going to not win in the last four. So it's going to happen. I want it to happen on Saturday, just for the intrigue of whether they will give us a guard of honour on Tuesday or not.
They won't. They've said no. They've said no.
Oh, what a shame. No, that would have been fantastic.
I never thought that would happen.
But if it does go to Tuesday, I really can't see it doing, to be honest. But yeah, imagine winning the league there as well. It'd go down in legend as well, wouldn't it? So no, I'm not worried. And yeah, I'm 100% confident they'll get the job done on Saturday.
Okay, give me a score prediction then, please.
2-0.
Dave?
3-1.
I'm going to go 4-0. There you go. Look at that. A wide variety of score predictions there from your Nona Never team listeners, but all predicting Claret's victories. You know the drill by now. We want to know your scores. It's been a while since we said this as well. We want to know scores. What did we used to say, Dave, in the old preview show? It was scores, scorer, and how they scored. That was what it was, wasn't it? We haven't done that for a while. We've got a bit lazy this season, I think. I think we need to finesse some of these viewer participation exercises next season. We'll work on that in the summer. But yes, listeners, do let us know, obviously, how you think the Clarets will perform. Adam, what on earth's happening with FPL? I've lost count. Oh, I know what's happening with FPL. Something did happen at the weekend at the FPL, didn't it, Adam? What was that?
Yeah, I think I need to eat a bit of humble pie, don't I? I gave you a few pelters last week for your performance.
Yeah, and what happened?
you went and beat me in our No Name Never Podcasters head-to-head league, 65-63 at the weekend. So that wasn't ideal.
Victory was so sweet as well. It was hilarious. That is what happens when you take the mickey out of me. I stealthily got... Do you know what? Do you know what's even worse as well, Adam? Didn't even look at my team. Forgot, because... I forget at the beginning of the season, never mind when it gets to this part of the season and I'm at the bottom and I'm not going to do anything. I just forgot, didn't tinker with it and beat you anyway. And that, sir, is wonderful. That's definitely karma. Is there, actually, I'm only allowed to tease you a little bit. Please don't quit for next season because I need you. So that was my only thing I'm going to do this season. Is there anything else happening? Do we have anything else to report?
Yeah, I can give you a quick league update.
Please.
So the top five, there wasn't that much movement in it, but the gap did close at the top. It's getting really tight now. So in fifth place, you've got Connor Milligan with 2,083 points. Fourth, Joe Bailiff, 2,093 points. Ursay in third with 2,100 points. Alice Flanagan in second with 2,103 points. So my lead has been cut to 6 points at the top. Ooh. With Alice and Ursay both closing the gap on me. We've got a blank game week this week because of the FA Cup semi-finals. So Man United, Man City, Brighton and Chelsea all blank. It's a good week to play your free hit if you've still got it. And the games to target are probably Arsenal at home to Southampton, Liverpool players at home to Forest, and then a couple of others that you'd expect to win, Palace at home to Everton and Fulham at home to Leeds. There's still 3 April game weeks to go in our Manager of the Month as the games come thick and fast now after the mid-season World Cup break. Chris Lodge currently leads the Manager of the Month standings for April, but still all to play for. The No Name Never Podcast Cup is down to 128 places.
And am I sadly, still in that?
Even though you beat me 65-63, you did lose to James Brindle, who had a really good week and scored 72 points.
James! I didn't even... I've only just found out that I was in that and you've knocked me out already. My excitement was so short-lived.
So the only podcasters left in the final 128 are myself and Charlotte, but I am playing against Ursay in the next round, so it's a top-of-the-table clash.
See ya.
And looking at the team, I'm pretty sure that we'll both be playing our free hits. And then the last thing to say, really, is that the next day, it's a Friday deadline, so get your teams in quickly. Friday, 6:30 p.m. before the Arsenal versus Southampton game. And that's it for this week.
Lovely. Before we move on, Dave, I've made a mistake, haven't I?
Yes.
What have I forgotten?
You've forgotten my stat of the week.
Listen to Adam talking. Do you only have this thing in your back of your mind where you go, something's not quite right with the order of this? Like, this, there's a natural flaw that's missing. And then I realised, and I was like, oh, good grief. We are going to delve back into the QPR game for the weekend, listeners. Little bit of a time warp. Do not adjust your sets. This is deliberate. I'm not going to bother with any fancy editing. We're just going to pretend that that little, apart from me beating Adam, that little FPL section didn't happen. Dave, why don't you delve deep into those pockets of yours and give our listeners your miscellaneous stat of the week?
You got too excited by your FPL, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I'm so sorry, listeners. It doesn't happen very often.
I thought you might have looked at it and thought it's not worth bothering with that this week.
Don't say that. I've built it up now. I haven't looked at it. Go on, tell us it. What is it?
Okay, this week's stat of the week relates to Burnley boss Vincent Kompany, who reached a milestone in midweek as he took charge for his 50th match as Claret's manager in all competitions. Burnley have won 31, drawn 15, and lost just 4 of those 50 matches, which is a very impressive start, as I'm sure you'll agree. I've looked back and you may not be too surprised to learn that this is by far the best start of any Burnley manager at this stage, both in terms of win percentage and fewest losses. We all know that the challenge is going to get a lot more difficult next season, but let's hope we can build on that momentum for the next 50 matches.
Let's hope so indeed. Thank you very much, Dave. I do appreciate particularly the miscellaneous stat of the week, and I am terribly unorganised host. You know, one of the biggest problems was is I got cocky. I getting towards the end of the season and I was getting comfortable with our show script. And I've had you three on my screen as we're recording and I had the show script minimised. And that's what happens. I just lost it. Before we go then, listeners, before we head back to our final quiz question of the week, a rather exciting announcement. You will have all seen, of course, on social media that next Sunday, the 30th of April, a match of historic magnitude is happening at Turf Moor. For the first time in history, Burnley FC Women will play a league match on the Turf Moor pitch. The club are opening one stand initially, the Bob Lowe stand, hoping to extend that to two, to the North Stand lower. For a 2 p.m. kickoff at home to Liverpool Feds, tickets are £5 for adults and I think £2.50 for juniors. This is a really key stage to an incredible season for our women's team. They sit 2 points behind league leaders Nottingham Forest with a game in hand. They have that first game in hand at home to Wolves, played at the Darwin Stadium on Sunday. That's going to be a tough game. Let's make no mistake about it. But if they win that game, they go into the final game of the season next Sunday and a win will basically give them the Women's Northern Premier Division title. The result of that will be that they go into an automatic playoff place with the winners of the Southern Premier League Division for a place in the Championship. Now, those of you unfamiliar with the Women's English League, the Women's Championship is exactly the same as the men's. They will be playing in the league that we've played in this season. Start at the top of the pyramid is the Women's Super League and the Women's Championship is underneath it. Women's clubs need a licence to play in the WSL because the WSL covers both the Super League and the Championship. The club this week have been successful in getting that application granted. So if we do win the title and we do win that playoff against the Southern team winners, we will be playing our football next season in the Championship. The club over the last month have unveiled a new finance package for the women's team next season. They are doing the same training regime as the men's, are in the same facilities as the men and the juniors as well. The under-21s and the under-16s are all playing together. The women's coach, my brain's left me. I'm sorry. I'll fill that in a second. I'm getting excited about this. They are all learning from and doing the same methods as Vincent Kompany. And it's a really, really exciting time for our women. So we absolutely beg you to come down to Turf Moor week on Sunday and cheer on the Burnley women, especially if they're in with a shot of the title. For those of you who can't make the game, you can tune in to Radio Lancashire, who have got full coverage of the game, and you might hear a familiar voice. Don't ask me how. This is a terrible idea, I think. But BBC have trusted me as being one of the commentators for the game. Send me Run Good vibes, please, listeners, because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit scared. It's a big deal. And it's my first commentating gig. So I'm going to be stepping up from podcasting and analysis shows to a commentator, and I'm a bit scared. So those of you who are tuning in, do send me some vibes. Adam has, thank you, has just put in our show notes. It's Jay, not Joe, Jay Bradford. Thank you, Adam. I knew it was Jay, Joe, Jay. No, not Jay. Yes, Jay. My God, listeners, I'm getting too excited. I'm so sorry. Yes, there you go. Please support our women. That would be hugely appreciated. So let's finish off the previous show, handing back to Dave, please, for the quiz question of the week.
Yes, this week's quiz question is a topical one as it relates to a new book which has been published this week, entitled Out of the Wilderness, A Director's Life at Burnley FC, and is a joint venture between former long-serving Burnley FC director Clive Holt and prolific Burnley FC author Dave Thomas. The question is, can you tell us in which year was Clive Holt first appointed as a director at Burnley Football Club? The book's out now via Pitch Publishing and is available in all the usual places. And you can even download a sample chapter if you want to try it out from the Pitch Publishing website. That's pitchpublishing.co.uk, which also gives a big clue about the answer to the question if you read that sample chapter.
Excellent stuff. We've been contacted as well in our central email from, I think, his publishing team, wanting to see if we want to preview that book and send us a sample and possibly do a feature on that as well. So if that is something, listeners, that you would find really interesting, if you want us to do a feature on that book, on Clive Holt's time as his position on the board, then drop us a line and we'll arrange that for you. That is all we have time for, I believe. Yes, it is. I'm scared now because I've made a few mistakes. I don't want to get that wrong. I think the only thing we've got left, actually, there is one thing that I've missed. Adam, I can't remember what was my result in the Podcasters League this week for the FPL. I think I missed that.
You smashed me 65-63.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Excellent news. Excellent news. That is all then, listeners. Do stay tuned. Next week, we're going to be bringing you the reaction from that home game against QPR. And fingers crossed, it will be a promotion, not just a promotion party, a title winning party. We will have all of our inflatable trophies. That's a good thing, actually. I believe that we don't get, irrespective of what happens, we're not getting the trophy until after the Cardiff game, the last game of the season. So if you have inflatable trophies, bring them in. I'm pretty sure the ground will let you in with them. We want to flood Turf Moor with inflatable trophies and have shades of Joey Barton and Tom Heaton. That would be fantastic. Have a cracking day for everybody at Turf on Saturday, and let's raise the roof. That is all we've got time for. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Never podcast and football show. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Natalie Bromley is the host and editor, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Richard Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, Adam Dennett, and Robbie Kopak. Our music is provided by George Gaskill, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonadnever.substack.com. Our thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are, as ever, proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.